To close our show today, we want to introduce you to one of our favorite writers.
I'm Amy Bender. I'm a fiction writer, and I teach creative writing at USC.
Amy wanted to write a story for us about the Big Bang. But before she wrote it, we asked her to do a little research. So we introduced her to Nick Warner. He teaches physics, astronomy, and math, also at USC, as it happens.
And I do research into string theory, and particularly black holes and what string theory has to say about black holes.
So the scientist explained to the fiction writer about the universe expanding the moments after it was created.
Before the expansion was nothing?
Well, it's an impossible question because the notion of before is dependent on having a universe in which to measure time. And if you don't have a universe in which to measure time, you can't talk about before or after.
Amy Bender figured out a way. Here's her story, written especially for us.
We met the new teacher for Origin class. He was tall, with a mustache. He was our last resort. The family genealogy class had failed. The trip to the zoo to look at monkeys had failed. The investigation of sperm and egg in a dish had failed. All were interesting, but they were not enough. Where did the sperm come from? Where did the monkey come from? Where did Romania come from? He sat in a chair at the front of the rug. We began all at once, everywhere, he said. We sat quietly, waiting. Has he started? Someone whispered. Yes, he said, I have started. We began all at once, everywhere. We thought about that. But before that, he shrugged. Goes beyond what we know, he said. All we can know is the universe. I thought we started in a dot, someone said. He shook his head. He brought out his lunch. No dot, he said. A dot is at a point. And if at a point, things are also not at that point. We watched as he chewed a baby carrot. A very well-packed dot, someone else offered, from which all things hurled free, not unlike a suitcase. Nope, he said. Everywhere, all at once. Then what? Someone asked. After that, he said. Well, at first, it was fast. Everything accelerating fast. Everything wanting to get out. Get out of what? Poor wording, he said. Just rapid acceleration. Then it slowed down. Now expansion is accelerating steadily. What expansion? Oh, the universe is expanding, he said, wiping his mouth. We found that out in 1929, from Hubble. We nodded. This made sense. It had been in a suitcase, and then no suitcase, he said, stomping his foot. All at once, everywhere. Someone started to cry. Someone else pushed someone else into the rug. How about this? He said. He put away his lunch bag and opened his briefcase and brought out puppets to show us personified matter and radiation. So, he said, what happened was that around 400,000 years, everything slowed and cooled, and matter grew lumpy due to gravity, and radiation stayed smooth. Before that, the two lived evenly together. He had two socks wound together, and then they moved away from each other, and the lumpy sock got all lumpified, ready to form galaxies, and the smooth sock that had swallowed a light bulb radiated. Nice, we said. The origin of galaxies, he said. Won't the light bulb burn the sock? No, he said. It's a specially insulated sock. Are we accelerating right now? Yes, he said. Edgar grabbed onto his seat. I feel it, he shouted. He fell off his chair. The teacher removed the socks from his hands. We can't feel it, he said. But everything is moving away from everything else. And it does mean that in a few billion years, even our beautiful neighbors may be drifting out of reach. He looked sad, saying that. We felt a sadness. In a billion years, our beautiful neighbors pulling away. But surely we will not be here in a billion years. Surely we will be something new, something that might not conceive of distance in the same way. We told him this, and he nodded, but it was wistful. He set up a telescope on a corner of the roof, and we went to take a look. This is time travel, he said, squinting an eye to set the lens. Because the light is old. We're seeing back in time. No, we said, wrinkling our noses. We are seeing right now, today. No, he said, the light has to travel to us, and it takes millions of years. What you're seeing is time. Excuse me, we said. We were embarrassed to correct him. He seemed so smart. What we're seeing is space. It's space, yes, he said. It's also time. You're seeing what has already happened. That's ridiculous, we said, though we did not move. We make bigger telescopes, radio telescopes, he said, to see back all the way. We can go back 13 billion years, almost to the Big Bang. No, we said. Yes, you can see all that way back. Yes. And, we said, sitting up, the suitcase? We pictured it at the end of a telescope, the longest, biggest telescope ever made, a tiny suitcase of a pleasing brown leather. Well, he said, leaning on the side wall, we can see very close to the beginning, but at around 400,000 years, the universe goes opaque. We almost threw him off the roof then. It's true, he said. We can see all the way to about year 400,000, but before that, it's veiled. We consider this. The universe began in a veil. Like a bride, we said. He smiled, for the first time that day. Sure, he said, relenting. Like a bride. And she takes off her veil at 400,000. She does, he said. We see her quite well after that. So, who'd she marry? We ask, settling ourselves at his feet. When a bride removes her veil, it's the moment of marriage. I don't know, he said. Everything? Us?
Origin Lessons by Amy Bender. It was read by Kevin Pariseau.